Chidatabhi. Three humors, namely mucus, bile, and wind. Imaha. All of them. Muhu. Always. Arjamanaha. Perplexed. Shita. Winter. Ushna. Summer. Vata. Wind. Varasai. By rains. Itara itarat, and many other disturbances. Cha, also. Kama agnina, by strong sex urges. Achutarusha, indefatigable anger. Cha, also. Sidur bharena, most unbearable. Sampashyataha, so observing. Manaha, mind. Arukrama, O great actor. Siddhate, becomes despondent. Nay. Translation, purport by Srila Prabhupada. O great actor, my lord, all these poor creatures are constantly perplexed by anger, by hunger, thirst, severe cold, secretion and bile, attacked by coughing, winter, blasting, summer, rains and many other disturbing elements, and overwhelmed by strong sex urges and the indefatigable anger. I take pity on them and I am very much aggrieved for them. Report. A pure devotee of the Lord like Brahma and persons in his disciplic succession are always unhappy to see the perplexities of the conditioned souls who are suffering the onslaughts of the threefold miseries which pertain to the body and mind, to the disturbances of material nature, and to many other such material disadvantages. Not knowing adequate measures for relieving such difficulties, suffering persons sometimes pose themselves as leaders of the people, and the unfortunate followers are put into further disadvantages under such so-called leadership. This is like a blind man leading another blind man to fall into a ditch. Therefore, unless the devotees of the Lord take pity on them and teach them the right path, their lives are hopeless failures. The devotees of the Lord who voluntarily take the responsibility of raising the foolish materialistic sense enjoyers are as confidential to the Lord as Lord Brahma. Brahma Vishnu Vidarakishna 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 Vidarakishna. So Lord Brahma is having some realizations here. I don't know practically how is this is fitting in because he hasn't created everybody yet, but somehow or other he has this insight of what's going to happen, and he's taking pity on it because he doesn't see that it's going to work out very well. There's going to be a lot of suffering involved. And Prabhupada gives some nice examples of what people do to deny the problems that are in existence. And one of them is the rabbit. What does a rabbit do? Something's happening, something's chasing it, something's disturbing it. It closes its eyes. No more problem, right? It's finished. Or the ostrich. Papa talks about the ostrich who digs a hole and puts his head in it and something is going to happen or something's going to kill it. He just puts his head in the hole and It's not going to happen. And then also the example of going into a hospital room and going to see someone there. Everyone's, you know, in the hospital for some reason, but you go in there and you go, how you doing? I'm okay. If you were okay, you wouldn't be in the hospital, right? So these are some reasons why that people deny it, because they don't really want to admit that there is suffering. And we see it when we go on Sankirtan, and we try to distribute a book to somebody, and we're trying to give them some spiritual knowledge, something good, right? And we say it's going to help you get rid of anxiety. We tell them all these things is going to help, and they go, I'm good. I'm good. How many times do you hear that a day? So many. So I'm good. I'm good. But they could be a lot better. And they're not really good. They're just faking it. So Prabhupada said that these people are either, they're very numb to everything, or else they're fools. And they just don't want to admit it. So here's a little description of some of the disturbances. It's just the tip of the iceberg. I'm sure if I went around to the room, anyone in this room at any point, and asked, is something ailing you? Is something ailing you? Yeah. We can find something that's ailing us, I guarantee you. And if it's not just a physical thing, it's a mental thing. This devotee is doing that. Why does the deity have that? Why didn't the curtains open? Or else it could be a political or a national or a global problem that's perplexing you. So it is unlimited. And some people, they would like to do something about it. You have your do-gooders who donate and give charity and volunteer for different services. That's nice, but you know, what effect does it really have? And are you really getting to the real core of the matter? I remember when my daughter was in labor and so much suffering. You guys don't know. And I was saying, oh, I was praying, I go, Krishna, can't you just transfer the pain onto me so I can take it? Because you don't want to see people suffer like that, you know? And you think, just let me do it. Prahlad Maharaj, of course, he also said, you know, give me their suffering. But it's not always possible. We have our own suffering to worry about. And then others have an attitude about suffering that I'm just going to roll with the punch. You know, it's just going to happen. I'll get up and I maybe have some bruises. I'll put some Band-Aids on it and I'll just keep going because that's life. You know, just keep going. It's not exactly the way I want it, but that's the way it happens. And then there's some that have a stone in their heart instead of a heart. And they're just thinking that they deserve it. They deserve that suffering. And that person, he doesn't have it, he's just lucky. It's all chance. Whatever happens, happens. And then there's those that actually think that they can beat the problem. That I can just pursue happiness no matter what the cost. And believe you me, it costs a lot to have some happiness in this material world. Bigger than your wallet is. But most people do feel some you know, pain for these people. I know whenever I hear a siren go by, it's just like, oh, what a bummer for somebody, you know? I feel so bad for them, you know? If someone's really suffering, it's going to change their whole life, and you know? But what can we do, you know? But we don't want to see people suffering. And the only way out of this burning fire of material existence is to stop having material desires, because that's what keeps us here. The more desires we have, the bigger the list, the longer we're here, having to work it out. So we can realize that this transfer of knowledge, of this spiritual knowledge to people, is such an important thing to do. Just as we heard just a few minutes ago, it's just nectar to hear that pastime in the jail, because I used to work at the jail, and they don't have anything, you know. All the girls do all day long is just braid each other's hair, you know. They have no life whatsoever. But to get a book or to hear kirtan really makes a difference. Because this gets the knowledge gets you off the bodily identification, which is the problem. That's why we have all these desires. We were hearing yesterday that there's the prayas and the shayas. The prayas is the band-aid, the temporary fix. And then the real shreyas is devotional service. That can change our entire consciousness and change our future entirely. But Srila Prabhupada, he had some other outreach programs, you know, food for life, not wanting anyone to go hungry. Because he realized if people are hungry, they're not going to listen to what you're saying. So he would have us make sure that everyone had plenty of prasadam. And then whatever other engagements we had, even if they were, you know, seemed like they were the prayas or the temporary fix, it was included in it was the holy name and the prasadam and the books. So it was a Krishna conscious package that could give one real relief for all these miseries. Papa said this is the greatest benediction. Lord Chaitanya said the greatest benediction for all of humanity is this chanting and this process of Krishna consciousness, because it's real compassion for their soul, not just for their body. There's so many fallen souls out there in darkness, and this is definitely brings light to the matter. There are many sincere people, like we just heard this one person, who are looking for choices of how to get out of the situation that they're in. Of course, many take to intoxication or they take to economic development. I'll just get more money. That'll solve everything. Or they have, there's these new age healing, self-growth ideas of how to help you get through the muck of things. But these are very costly. You gotta have a big wallet for that. And then there's also, you know, you can take a vacation to Disney World, probably solve a lot of problems. And then there's the mega churches. Have anyone ever heard of these mega churches or visited online one of them? Yeah, they get like a, you know, football stadium with peoples and a very charismatic leader, preacher. And he gets up there and he tells everybody, you all are great, you all are wonderful, and you all can enjoy. All you have to do is get a better job, get money. God wants you to enjoy. He's telling you all are wonderful, and God wants you to enjoy, get money. Be successful in life, and that's the ultimate goal. And everybody likes to hear that. And everybody goes for it, and everyone gives their money. And just a few weeks ago, they followed one of the preachers around, and the guy is getting himself a new car, and all the people, all his family get new clothes, and yeah, scams. Many people have been caught doing this, that are misleaders, as Prabhupada is describing here. They're imposing as leaders, telling them how they can be wonderful and how they can enjoy, but they are just blind leaders leading the blind, and usually it makes it worse. Prabhupada would get really angry with these imposters. And of course, there's so many other classes of people that Prabhupada had to deal with that were imposters. You know, just like in Russia, when he went there, and Professor Katovsky, he was the head of the, you know, Vedic, you know, institution there, and he, you know, expounding the philosophy of Gita and this and all the Vedas and everything, and he doesn't even believe that the soul is eternal, doesn't believe in reincarnation. I mean, that's like the ABCs, you know? How can you talk about it and preach about it and you don't even believe it? These, Prabhupada said, are not just misleaders, they're cheaters. And Prabhupada was very heavy on criticizing them. And then there's the false gurus. Sometimes, especially when in the younger days when there were a lot of these pop-up gurus coming around, their names would be mentioned to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada would just cringe when he'd hear the names of these people, knowing what cheaters they were, that they're saying, oh, I'm God, you're God. He just couldn't tolerate it. It was just, you know, horrible. He would say, give me a boot and I will kick on their face. He said, and then I was hearing the other day, Papa said, and I will urinate on them. Papa said, I'll urinate on them and see what they can do. See what this God can do. Papa was, he really did not like them at all. I remember when I was in searching for the absolute truth, and I had a friend from college, and we were heading out west looking for the guru for some guidance, and we had figured out by reading some yoga books that you shouldn't have sex life, you shouldn't have intoxication, and things like that. And so we'd given all that up, just because it sounded good, pure, sound like a good thing to do. And then, so we both joined the temple together, and she lasted about 2 weeks. And I saw her a couple of years later, and I asked her where she'd gone. She says, "Well, I joined Guru Maharaji." And I go, "Oh." And he goes, "Yeah," and she was taking intoxication again. She was eating meat again. She was having illicit sex again. Well, he says it's okay, you know, if you cannot do it, that's good, but, you know, false gurus, misleading everybody. So this is so disappointing that they're out there and that they're trying to attract people. And then Prabhupada, he gets real heavy with all the so-called peacemakers, the UN. How many times he said, the UN, just more flags, more separatism, and more wars. Not really, you know, having solutions to anything. And then the UNESCO workers, part of the UN. Prabhupada met with two different groups of those. One was really into it, saying, "Oh, we're giving everyone jobs." That's all he could say was, "Well, we're giving jobs to people." But Prabhupada said, "You're missing the whole point. You got to show these people that God is the proprietor of everything, that we're all part of Him. That's the only way we're all going to see how to have peace in the world, how we're really going to solve the problems." So he was really heavy on them. He kept repeating it again and again. Sometimes you thought, boy, Prabhupada's going to say it another time? I guess you have to. In Kali Yuga, everyone's got a cow dung in their brain. You have to say it over 3 times. Just false promises. That's all that these groups give. And then there's the scientists. Prabhupada really, of course, describe the post-dated check, all the so-called theories that are taking all our tax money, all the research, and then they're just simply luring you away from believing in God. That we've got the answers to everything. Just give us time. We'll figure it all out. We'll get rid of all the disease. You'll be eternal. We can even freeze you if you want. We'll wake you up later and you can enjoy. There's so many different things that the scientists promise. Just post-dated checks. And technology will take care of everything, all the problems of life. But we can see what is done to our youth. All they're doing all day long, their thumbs, they're going to get broken thumbs on those stupid phones all the day. You know, they don't even go outside and get fresh air. And they're being, in the internet, that's the worst scam. Every single day, you know, something comes up saying, you know, come on, just push this button and it'll take you somewhere and they'll take your money, don't worry. Or they'll get your ID or something like that. It's unlimited what's going on in this so-called digital world. And then the politicians, I think we had our share of it last week and the week before, of how liars, cheaters, criminals, that actually these people posing as leaders are simply criminals, and they're gathering up all the degraded people to support them. It's really a frightful situation. So we need to fight. Srila Prabhupada was a fighter. He would actually kick them, you know, just with his words. It would be so biting that he didn't want us to just merge in and try to be good and look like all the others. No, he wanted to show how we were different, that we were not cheaters, that we were bona fide. He was so proud when we finally went through all those court cases and we became a bona fide religion. That was like the glory of all his work. These people need to hear the truth, and we need to give them the truth. We can't be wimpy and think that we can just just kind of go along with them. Prabhupada said you should make propaganda against these cheaters. And we should also set the example of a saintly person ourselves. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he really hit it on the nail, and he said that this is the society of the cheaters and the cheated. And it's true. Every single day you can get cheated. So what you have to do, you have to become a really good cheater to out-cheat everybody else. So the whole society is going downhill. And Srila Prabhupada, he also describes that this is going to continue going on. We see now there's this Ama hugging guru that's now so famous in India. Nothing to do with Krishna, just about loving each other and this wishy-washy, gushy, wishy, whatever. And then there's the there's still cults going on. Remember, of course, I was a devotee when the Jim Jones thing happened, and everyone was freaked out that, you know, oh God, this Krishna is going to be another one of them. But just a few weeks ago, out west, they found some cult out there all full of drugs and drugging people and polygamy and millions of kids and completely brainwashed, taken off the path of truth. But this didn't go on, this isn't going on just now. A long time ago, who was the number one person who faked out like Krishna? Pondraka, right. What a clown. You know, puts two extra arms on him and says, I'm Vishnu, surrender unto me, Krishna. Krishna just laughed. Everyone with Krishna just laughed at this guy looking so crazy, thinking that he's Vishnu. He says, I'll surrender you. I'll surrender my disc. Off with his head, right? So this has been going on. Even we can see Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to take one person, Deepak Sheena, I think his name? Is that his name? Yeah, he had to take him to court because he was saying that he was God. And he legally had battles and everything, and then finally someone, I think it was one of the British magistrates, said, you know, these yogis, they're very powerful. And he was very, very powerful. He almost destroyed Bhaktivinoda Thakur's family. And he said they hold their power in their hair. And then finally when he was in jail, they cut off his hair and he just kind of dissolved. So yeah, acharyas are fighters. Fighters against these rascals. And even in Lord Chaitanya's time, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda were walking on the way to Shantipur one day, and they were going to go see Advaita Acharya. And Nityananda had heard about a householder sannyas, whatever that means, a householder sannyas. I guess there is a kshetra sannyas, where you can live with your wife. Anyway, they went to see him, and the couple was quite, you know, amazed at the beauty of these two lords, invited them in, and he immediately blessed Lord Chaitanya. May you have a wonderful, you know, healthy life with a nice wife and plenty of wealth. And Lord Chaitanya goes, that's not a blessing from a sannyasi to a sannyasi. That's not a blessing, he said. And he started to preach to the man. He goes, this guy needs some help. He's not really a sannyas. And so he started preaching to him. And then the man got a little bit angry, a little upset, and said, you know, he's looking at Lord Nityananda. He says, I think your friend here, he's a lunatic, too much chanting or something. Because what are you going to do? You have to have wealth. You have to have a beautiful wife. You have to have a life like this. And then he says, actually, maybe it's this Avaduta guy has made you crazy, thinking that you can, you know, that I'm wrong and you are right, that we don't need to get a job and to have money and wealth. So Nityananda goes, don't worry about my friend. We know you're very famous. We know you're very, you know, loyal and so renounced or whatever. And so the sannyasi said, oh, well, okay, take some prasadam. And Nityananda says, can you just pack it? We want to leave. Just pack it up and we'll take it with us. And he says, no. You must go take bath and come back and have prasadam nicely. And so they went to the river and bathed and came back and offered some fruits and things. And then the sannyasi says to Nityananda, he goes, they were taking prasad, he goes, so should I bring out the happiness? And Lord Chaitanya is going, the happiness? Nityananda goes, the liquor, the alcohol, the liquor. And Lord Chaitanya goes, Hare, 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 and closes his ears. They wash their mouth and run and go and jump in the Ganges with all their clothes on to get purified from the this boga sannyasi, completely, you know, not leading anybody, but simply misleading everyone. So I can understand now when I made that phone call to my parents that I found a guru, I found the absolute truth, that they were worried. They were freaked out because these people all are around. But luckily, you know, Lord Chaitanya and Krishna sent us Srila Prabhupada, who from the very beginning was not here to cheat us. He came on his own, just as I was describing here, volunteering the responsibility of changing the world. That was his plan, to change the entire world. And he says, if I go to the West and I can convince these people to give up their desire for material enjoyment, then the whole world can follow, because everyone follows the West. So we can thank him from the bottom of our hearts that he did give us the absolute truth. And it was obvious, because it did change our hearts. Just we can see by that pastime in the jail, that one book, Science of Self-Realization, changed that person's heart. And then it's just multiplying. Now there's 7 people. And Prabhupada wanted us in the West to try to use our intelligence and how we can use this knowledge, how to get it out there to be this potent. I mean, Krishna picked Prabhupada because he was so pure. He was able to work through him. So in the same way, we have to concentrate on our purity so that we can also be a person that Prabhupada can use to help change the world and the suffering that's going on here. There was once a book out in the archives. It was called Don't Lump Us In. It was a small little article. It was after all these cult incidences and the brainwashing cases and everything. And it wasn't real effective, but it did show that, you know, the Vedas are not the same. You know, this movement is not the same. But Prabhupada, he wanted us to actually become very active and try to fight this. He was himself a Maharati. He fought everyone. I just would listen to a whole bunch of tapes on when he was in France, and the France community came up with authors, famous authors, politicians, leaders of all sorts came to see Prabhupada every day, every single day. Religionists wanting to meet Prabhupada, and Prabhupada just boom, 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 kicked on them, every single one. Just showed them that we are doing the best welfare work. We have the absolute truth. And showed where they were slighted in what they were trying to preach or to do to help society. At one time, Prabhupada had us have a In God We Trust party, try to get into politics, try to do some change. But very soon, Prabhupada saw it was just degraded. The people were degraded. The whole situation was not healthy spiritually, so it stopped. But we have the real McCoy. We should be very fortunate, realize how fortunate we are that this devotional service, this path of purity, of purifying our hearts. So we shouldn't cheat ourselves either. We should realize that what we have and to use it and to follow it. You know, got to cross every T. Everything that Prabhupada said we have to do. And the more we do that, the more potent we are as preachers, and more hope for this suffering material world. And so we have to practice what we preach, not be an imposter, but to be that shining moon that Prabhupada wished he had so many of. He said many, many stars, yes, but the moons that are so powerful and brilliant. So it's a big challenge for us to take up that responsibility, to volunteer, to become responsible, and to preach to everyone we meet. And I was thinking the other day that, you know, just the Vaishnava attire is such a nice preaching tool. Whenever you go out, put on a sari. put on a dhoti and go to the grocery store, go to Lowe's, or go wherever you're going, if it's possible, and just be devotees, especially the tilak. People look at it. And that, Papa said, just by seeing that tilak, the soul goes, oh, Vaishnava. It helps them remember Krishna. And then the neck beads, seeing that, this person looks like they're coming from Vaikuntha. I was kayaking with my daughter for her birthday the other day, and I walked away, and someone goes, oh, I love your necklace. And the Hare Krishna, it says Hare Krishna. I had it written in English so that people could actually see it. I thought it was better preaching because they see the Sanskrit, they don't know what's going on, but she actually saw that Hare Krishna. So whenever we have an opportunity, we can say Hare Krishna to the cash register, to the bank teller. They might say, what'd you say? Did you say Merry Christmas? What did you say? Repeat it again. Can you say Hare Krishna? So these are opportunities that are very, they work. They help internally. The more they hear it, the better. And of course, the holy name. The holy name is so powerful. The more we spread it around, the more, like Prabhupada said, it becomes a household word. That everyone knows what Hare Krishna is. And Alachua is full of Hare Krishna devotees. I'm sure everyone that lives around here is benefiting somehow or other by serving the devotees. But we should, recognize that that being Vaishnavas, we should be very proud that we're trying to represent Prabhupada and the whole Vaishnav culture, all this knowledge that will give them relief, real relief, from the blasting summer rains that they're due to have next lifetime also. Again and again and again they'll come back. And it's only going to get worse, I guarantee you. Every year it gets hotter. Every year the rain gets less. And so we should realize that we should become fighters and preachers on behalf of this great knowledge that Lord Brahma is so fortunate to receive, and that we're so fortunate to have in our midst with Srila Prabhupada's books. So anyone has any questions or advice? If not, we can go out and distribute this knowledge to someone today, somehow or other, say Hare Krishna to somebody, and give them the cooling, soothing Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna. Glorious Prabhupada.